Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Well, the disciples apparently wanted to be great. That was their goal, their purpose. They wanted to be great. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with wanting to be first? What's wrong with wanting to win? What's wrong with wanting to be great at what we do? I mean, you should be great, shouldn't you? I remember going to a minister meeting and playing one of those group games that you play, and we were all ministers at this meeting, not the kind of meeting you'd ever want to go to. We got into pairs, a team of two ministers, and Kathy was paired with someone else, and I was paired with a woman named Mary Lee, and the simple game, it was very simple. You had a red playing card and a black playing card, and each team of two would go to meet another team of two, and each of you would choose which card to play, the red one or the black one. And if you both played the red card, then you both got a point. But if you both played the black card, then you both lost a point. But if the other team played the red card and our team played the black card, then we'd get 2 points. So, if everybody plays the red card, then that's the safe thing to do. So we played the first round. We went there. We played our red card. They played their red card. We each got a point. We looked around the room at the other 10 teams. The score after the first round was 1-1-1-1-1-1. Clearly, the whole point of this game was, if we just work together, then everybody wins. Everybody wins. Isn't that great? Mary Lee thought, and I thought, we're not playing this game like that. That's ridiculous. So the next round came. We went over there. Everybody played the red card except us. We played our black card. We got 2 points. We were in the lead. We also incurred the wrath of every other teammate, every other player who thought, how could you do this? How could you break the unwritten rule of the game that we're all supposed to work together and cooperate? Aren't we all in this together? And we said, no, we're in this to win. And after 9 rounds, we actually got creamed because everybody else ganged up on us. But you know what? It was a heck of a lot more fun than at the end of 9 rounds, the score being 9-9-9-9-9. It'd sort of be like, if the Cubs finally won the World Series because we figured a way where every team was the winner of the World Series every year. This year the Royals won and the Cubs won and the Tigers won and the Phillies. Who cares? Winning is a good thing. Wanting to win, wanting to do your best, it's a good thing. Most of us live in a world where winning matters. We're getting the highest score you can on the ACT matters. We're getting the best sales results matters. And winning is great. So I don't put down winning at all. And being the best we can be in school, the best we can be on the job, everywhere. And I think that's okay with Jesus too, just so we know that winning and all is not quite the same as greatness, because Jesus really redefines greatness. Jesus redefines greatness. If you want to know what greatness is, he says, well then you must be the servant of all. That's how it goes. True greatness, he says, is found in serving others. Stephen Covey, who wrote, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, one of them, I think, is write a mission statement. What do you want to do with your life? To be intentional about it. Most of us think about those things, but we're not always intentional. We may be intentional about a career goal or an educational goal. We want to get that degree. We want to reach this place in the company. We want to live in this kind of a place. But what about writing a mission statement for what kind of person you want to be? What kind of character you want to have? How your deeds and the way you live and the choices that you make reflect the person you feel called to be? That wouldn't be a bad thing to do. So how do you do that? Well, Jesus says, interestingly, the measure of it all is how you treat a child. And Jesus doesn't just say that. He actually takes a child. He holds the child. He says, well, if you really want to know what it is to be great, if you really want to measure that, well, then it all depends on how you treat a child. And of course, in the biblical days, a child was even more than we see today, a powerless, vulnerable. How you treat that child is the measure, Jesus said, of your greatness. Boy, how would that affect the debates in Congress? If silently, but just every time they talked about health care or the budget, someone just stood there holding a child. Sometimes an American child, sometimes perhaps an Afghan child, because they're all God's children in the end. Would that make a difference, I wonder? And what if Jesus himself walked in holding a child? That might affect an awful lot if we see and sense Jesus holding a child as the measurer of our own greatness, of the kind of people we want to be. How does your life matter? How are you making the difference in a life of a child? Any child. Your own child, certainly, if you have one. It starts at home. But not just your own, because all children are God's children. And people of any age are all God's child, too. It's really a pretty amazing thing about Jesus. One of those, when you think you sort of know who he is, for Jesus to walk up there and say, really, it's about this least, most forsaken member of society, the least powerful, the most vulnerable. That's the measure of greatness, is how you care for that child, for that person. How do you do that? It could be dozens of things you could put in your mission statement. It could be coaching the soccer team and giving extra attention to the kid who's not the best player, maybe who's the worst. Could be leading the scout troop, even though you're really pretty exhausted at the end of the day and you don't have a lot left over. Or maybe volunteering at PADS, where you come in the middle of the night and nobody knows that you do that. And yet it makes a difference. It helps a child. Maybe it's visiting your elderly neighbor over the fence, the one whose family lives out of town, and just listening to her talk about her grandchildren, the ones she never sees. Maybe it's volunteering for Amnesty International or Bread for the World or any one of the hundreds of organizations that are making this world a better place through one person at a time, one letter at a time, one dollar at a time. Maybe it's praying for our soldiers' safety, the ones that we can name right here in our own congregation or ones we can't name, and maybe praying for the safety of those Afghan children too. Maybe it's seeing your work in the laboratory as actually being part of God's healing work in the world, even though you're mixing chemicals or making notes, or maybe you're selling the stuff, but you're part in a small way of the healing of a child somewhere that you never see. Maybe it's humanizing the work environment, whether you're in a position to do it from the top down, or maybe you're working from the bottom up and just listening to the person in the next cubicle with care. So whether it's listening with care or holding a hand or working for justice, what is it? What gives the purpose to your life? Sometimes people will ask me, I just can't figure out what my purpose is. What am I supposed to do? And it's almost like they're looking for one thing. What's the one great cause of my life? And you know, some people have a great cause in their life. Some people do. But most of us probably don't have one great cause. We have many great causes. To be a good father, to be a loving daughter, to do whatever work you're doing as God's person, right there in that office, in that laboratory, wherever it is. It's many things for most of us. Mother Teresa said, in this life, there are no great things to do. There are only little things to do with great love. Maybe your purpose, maybe mine, is to really be intentional about those little things that we can do with great love that really matter. There's a great story about a rabbi in a village who was greatly respected by all of his people, not just for the work he did as their rabbi, but because the day after the Sabbath, every Sunday, he would disappear and not be seen again until late that evening. And the word got around the village that every Sunday morning, the rabbi ascended into the highest heaven to speak directly to God. And then he would return from the highest heaven on Sunday night. Well, one member of the village, today it would probably be one of the confirmation class members, decided they wanted to find out for sure what the rabbi was doing. They really didn't believe what they heard. They didn't think the rabbi was heading up into heaven or any such thing. And so they got up early and they followed the rabbi as he left his own home early in the morning and walked out into the forest. And they followed him into the forest, followed him all the way to a small hut in the middle of the forest where an old woman lived all by herself. They watched from a distance as the rabbi cut wood and then stacked it neatly by the door for the fire. They watched as he repaired a corner of the roof. They watched as he sat and prayed with this old woman and then followed him again back to his village. And from then on, whenever that young doubter heard people in the village saying, "Oh, on every Sunday, our rabbi ascends to the highest heaven to speak with God," he would say to himself, "Or maybe even higher." Let us do little things with great love, for Christ's sake, for one another's sake, for the world's sake. And in the end, it will be also for our own sakes. Thanks be to God. Let's worship God now with our gifts and with song.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for every opportunity to serve you. In this moment, give us open hands and generous hearts, and use these our gifts. Use all that we have and all that we are for your purposes here in this place. We ask it in Jesus' name.